Mr. Lodge, you before the subcommittee, and you are now recognized to testify for 5 minutes.
Thank you very much. I draw your attention to the screen up here. I'd like to use a PowerPoint to illustrate my testimony. Madam Chairwoman and subcommittee members, I appreciate the opportunity to provide some scientific input into the discussions this morning. As you know, I'm a biologist, and I come at this issue from 26 years of teaching and research on this issue of invasive species. So I'm at Notre Dame. My colleagues and I have been working on various aspects of this issue for many years. I want to start with an example on the next slide that's a little bit outside the purview of what we're talking about. We're talking about animals, I understand, but I want to start with an example of plants in the spirit of Mr. Whitman's earlier comments. This example also illustrates a little family history and the complexities of this issue. Draw your attention to the guy in the center of the top photograph, who is my great-grandfather on his farm in southeastern Alabama in the late 1930s. He gathered people around him for that photograph to celebrate his success in introducing the plant in the foreground, which any of you from the southeastern United States may recognize, particularly from the bottom photograph, as kudzu. Kudzu is a very fast-growing plant from Asia, introduced intentionally for good reasons. There were benefits to control soil erosion and replenish nitrogen. So there were benefits. My uncle still lives on this farm, however, and spends a great deal of time, energy, and resources attempting to control the damages from kudzu. If you don't get the point, those are trees in the bottom photograph, and in the center, that's a barn. So my uncle has realized, if we can look at the next slide, that over time, for this species and many others, that the net effect of the introduction of kudzu has been more harm than benefit. That's what we're getting at when we talk about invasive species. Now, let's get to some examples that are more consistent with the topic of this particular bill, animals. Last time I talked to you in September 2007, I talked about Asian carp on the left there, introduced for aquaculture but have escaped and pose a great threat to many waterways in the U.S., including the Great Lakes now. A more recent concern, northern snakehead fish on the right. You'll notice very few little red blobs on that USGS map now. It has a fairly limited distribution, but is of great concern. The state of Arkansas just spent about $750,000 recently to try to eradicate just one of five known populations in the state of Arkansas. And the problem is, if we look at the next slide, a great deal of the continent may turn red over time if this species isn't eradicated. This map shows the results of using some of the modern risk assessment tools to estimate where, in what parts of North America, the waterways may be suitable for future invasion by northern snakehead. So these are just a couple of animal examples of the many listed on the next slide, where we can see the scope, just some hints at the scope of the problem. Millions of species of fish imported annually into the United States. Many reptiles, including the most venomous snakes in the world, to be housed and used as pets by private citizens. Many birds and mammals that bring wildlife diseases and human diseases, like the monkeypox outbreak in 2007 in humans. Lots of demonstrated harms, which have been estimated in aggregate, fisheries, disease, and so forth, estimated in aggregate at $120 billion annually. That's a crude estimate. We could talk about it. My belief is that it's probably a dramatic underestimate. So lots of harms, including benefits. Now, this looked at the history of invasions of the United States by mollusks, mussels, clams, and snails. And this graph illustrates that just using one bit of biological information about those species, the annual fecundity, how many eggs does a female snail lay every year? We could estimate with a remarkable degree of accuracy the likelihood of it spreading and causing harm. So that's one example of what I mean by risk assessment and the sort of tool that could be employed by the Fish and Wildlife Service. Now, that's a risk assessment. In the next slide, I begin to superimpose a hypothetical risk management scenario on that. The Fish and Wildlife Service might decide, it would need to decide, well, what level of risk are we willing to accept? We're never aiming for zero in any of these things. So let's just imagine a hypothetical risk a threshold of 10%. We're willing to accept a 10% risk of harm from allowing an importation. That would imply, for this simple example on the next slide, that the Fish and Wildlife Service might say, okay, if you want to import a snail, but that snail has an annual fecundity greater than 100 or 1,000, and that's a relatively easy biological characteristic to discover and measure, then you might not be able to import that, or you could import it under certain risk management requirements that might be imposed by the Fish and Wildlife Service. So that's just one little example. There are lots of others out there in the recent scientific literature, and lots more could be developed to aid decisions by the Fish and Wildlife Service. So the next and last slide just summarizes some of the what I've said and recommendations in my written testimony, that only Congress can give the authority needed to the Fish and Wildlife Service to employ modern risk assessment tools. My great-grandfather could not have foreseen the harms that came from kudzu. But we have learned a great deal since then, and especially in scientific research in the last 15, 20 years, these kinds of tools that are necessary for the Fish and Wildlife Service or anyone else who wanted to make voluntary or regulatory decisions are increasingly available. And with sufficient resources for both additional research and the support of translation of research into decision support tools, the Fish and Wildlife Service could carry out such a task if they were given the resources to do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lodge, for highlighting the science of risk assessment methods and technologies.